Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Has anybody watched the film or the documentary, I think it's on Netflix, called The Social Dilemma? Helen and I just watched it a few nights ago, and essentially it's a documentary about some of the VPs or CEOs from all the different types of social networking platforms. And a lot of these guys have moved on from the places that they were working, and they were just describing the dangers of some of these social networking platforms and the effects it's having on people, young people, right around the world, and their concerns. If you haven't watched it, I'd really highly recommend it. But there was a statement that was made that Helen and I just looked at each other and we thought, wow. And here was the statement. It was actually said multiple times. We just don't know what truth is anymore. What a statement. We just don't know what truth is anymore. Another person said, we just don't know which way to turn. Wow, okay, that's interesting. Another one said, we don't know whether it's fake news or truth anymore. You know, they're finding it really difficult to decipher between fake news and truth. That's amazing. Another one said, we don't know how to live our best life. And I've got to tell you, they are amazing statements, because they don't know the way to go, they don't know what is truth, and they don't know how to live life. Well, I thank God that we serve a Jesus who said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And as we delve into this series, guys, can we just do something for the next few weeks? Can we just let the Word of God transform us from the inside out? Can we place it at the top of our thinking and let's believe what God says about relationships? Do you know, our world is like shifting sands, and they change their mind every 3 weeks about what builds a great relationship, but Jesus' words stand. And maybe you've tuned in for the first time, you're gonna hear some things that maybe you've never really heard before, but I really believe that as we put Jesus' words into practice, we end up with the results that we all want. Amen. So listen, today, whether you are single, whether you're dating, whether you're engaged, married, divorced, all of us want to improve our relationships. Every single person wants to have a great relationship with that special someone at some stage of their life, or if not right now. So what is one of the greatest factors in building a vibrant, healthy, passionate, fun-filled relationship? Well, we are basing this series this year on my book, if you haven't got it yet, I suggest you do, called 60 Seconds to Save Your Relationship. And we put it out to people who have purchased the book, or those that are just simply following me. And we put it out to you guys to say, what would you like to know a little bit more about? Because these chapters are short, they're meant to be short, but what would you like to see expanded upon? And without a doubt, the thing that came right up to the top and the conversation that people wanted to have today was, how do I keep building the best version of me? Now, I'm glad people asked that, because when it comes to having a vibrant relationship, friends, that is the key. And so I'm going to delve into that, and I really believe that you will be blessed as you listen to what Jesus has to say about these things. Let me just start off with a story. You know, Helen and I are experiencing what you are experiencing, or most of us are, and that is, we are in isolation. And so that's given us a little bit of time to clean up our house. And so maybe 2 months ago, I cleaned out my wardrobe, and I've become a bit of a minimalist, and just clearing out things that I don't need. And I put everything into these big black plastic bags, and I put them out into the garage. And they sat there for some time, and eventually I got sick and tired of looking at them. So I opened up Helen's boot of her car, not mine, you'll notice, because hers is bigger. And so I opened it up, and I stuffed all these black garbage bags full of clothes and jackets and jumpers and some shoes, and I put them all in because we want to take them to, you know, some type of, whether it's a bin that you can put them into where people recycle the clothing, or I don't know what we were going to do with them. But anyway, we put them into the boot, and I closed the boot, and I remember thinking to myself, I cannot fit another thing into this boot. Like, I was struggling to even close it. And I remember thinking, I really need to empty this boot. Well, a few weeks later, I go shopping and I come out with a trolley full of good things, some things that I'm really looking forward to eating and you know, preparing. And I get to my boot and I open it up and I discover it is chock-a-block full of those clothes. I literally could not put the shopping into the boot of the car. Now you think, well, just put it in the back seat. Well, the cars that were parked in this car lot, they were so close. Honestly, I was struggling to get them in. I should have been able to just pop them into the boot, but I couldn't because the boot was already filled with, wait for it, old things. And I just kept forgetting to empty it out. And the reason being I kept forgetting, friends, is because when you see the car, it's not obvious that there's something in the boot. It's not like the boot was popping up. And if you were to see the car and it was all washed and clean, you would have thought, what a beautiful looking car. But you wouldn't have thought for one moment that the boot was completely full of old clothing and things that were no longer necessary to Helen and myself. But here's the point. I wasn't able to squeeze anything good into that boot because it was full of the old. Now, when we read Matthew 12, 33, verses 33 to 35, you'll see something. I touched on this recently at chapel. And Jesus says, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, that's Jesus being encouraging. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Then he says, for out of the abundance, everyone say abundance. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus says, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth, Jesus is saying, comes out of the abundance of what's in your heart. Now watch verse 35. He says, a good man, or woman of course, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Okay, let's just stop for a moment. All of us want good relationships. All of us want good things to be going on around us. Jesus here is making it very clear that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Now, of course, we know that applies to men and women and everyone else that's listening. Jesus is saying good things flow out of what's in you. Bad things flow out of the bad things that are in us. A good relationship flows from the good treasure that is in you. And vice versa, a bad relationship flows out of the bad treasure that is in you. What do you mean by treasure, Richard? Well, Jesus says it's the abundance of the heart makes your mouth speak. In other words, what is the majority of the teaching of what you believe in your heart as we speak right now? Is it what your school teacher said, what your father said, what your mother said, what some documentary said, what your friend said, or is it what God has said? What is the majority in your heart? Because everyone's got a little bit of good and everyone's got a little bit of bad in them. Okay, we get that. I've got some bad teaching inside of me. You've got some bad stuff, but some people have got some good stuff. Everyone's got some good. Everyone's got some bad. What is the abundance though? Because Jesus is saying that it's out of the good treasure in us that good things come to us. Now, as a single man, I knew, if I can go back to that illustration with the car, I knew as a single man that I had a boot full of bad example. I had a boot full of unforgiveness toward people. I had a boot full of mistrust. I had a boot full of skepticism in regards to marriage. I had a boot full of self-doubt and I had a boot full of selfishness. But hey, listen, as a 16-year-old, I went on a journey of getting rid of the boot full of things that I didn't need anymore that were not helping me so that I could get the bad things out so that I could get the good things in. And I'm just wondering, am I speaking to anybody today who would maybe admit with me, just like myself, that maybe you've got a boot full of things that don't need to be there anymore. And if you want to move your relationship forward, friend, the best thing that you can do is be the best version of you. And if you will go to work on yourself and your partner goes to work on themselves and everyone's emptying out the bad things that we don't need anymore, the things that just need to be shifted out of your heart, then there's room for the good things to take place. And then out of that good place in your heart, good things are going to happen. Someone needs to be clapping and amening and high-fiving and maybe doing a handstand right about now, but don't hurt yourself. Can you imagine what it would be like if two people decide, hey, listen, I can't change you. I'd like to, but I can't. But what I can do is just allow myself to be the best version of me for you. And the other person is doing the exact same thing. Can you imagine what happens in that place? Now, listen, some of you are saying, well, you know, right now I don't have anyone in my life. Friend, you don't need to have someone in your life in order for you to be building the best you. Why don't you start the process so that when you do meet that person, you are well and truly on your way to building the best version of you? Come on, can someone say amen? I just think that this is so important. Friends, don't wait until you are in a relationship before you start emptying the boot. I was 16, I just mentioned that, and I was married at 21. Some of you are thinking, wow, that's young. That gave me a few years to empty myself. Now, having said that, I am still emptying the boot of the things that don't work for me, don't help my relationship. I'm on a continual journey, friends. I've been married for over 28 years, but both Helen and I are working at being the best version of ourselves for our partner. Actually, I want to be the best version of me for me. I just think I feel better when I behave better, when I say things that help people and encourage people. Have a look at what Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10 says. It's talking about Nehemiah trying to build a wall around Jerusalem. And so here we are. They're trying to build a wall. For us, we're trying to build a relationship, right? It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. So the people were becoming weary in building this wall. And it says, and there is so much rubble that we cannot build the wall. Did you hear that? They were trying to build a wall, but they couldn't because there was just too many rocks that had fallen over from previous wars or catastrophes or disasters. It was old rubble that they hadn't bothered to move. And now they were trying to build the wall, but it's very difficult to build the wall when you haven't dealt with the rubble. Friends, I wonder what rubble you've got going on in your life. Is it the rubble of insecurity? Is it the rubble of fear and doubt? Is it the rubble of anger? Is it the rubble of regret? That's a huge rubble to have in your life. And all of a sudden, you're trying to build this magnificent relationship, but there's rubble everywhere. Do you remember when Jesus said this? He said, friend, if you want new wine, then you need a new wineskin. Do you remember those words? What does he mean by that? Everybody wants new things, a new relationship, a new vision. Everybody wants new things. But are we willing to hand over a new wineskin? In other words, are you willing to empty the boot? Can't get your shopping into the boot while the boot is full. Is anyone getting something out of this today? So come on, how do we build the best version of ourselves? I've got a few points here that I think will really help you. And of course, you'll read it all in here. Here it goes. Friends, don't expect a relationship to fill the gaping void in your life. Did you hear that? You know, a lot of people use that language. We've all watched the film where Tom Cruise walks into a room and he gives a whole speech to a young lady and then he ends up with, you complete me, and girls are crying and everyone feels great. But the truth is, friends, you don't need anybody to complete you. Actually, the word of God is really, really clear that only Jesus can actually complete you. He is the one who satisfies your soul. And Jesus talked about this one day in John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. He's talking to a woman who's sitting beside a well. And she says, if I could just drink that water, she says, I'll be satisfied. In other words, she believed that something on earth could actually satisfy her spiritual soul. She thought something physical could satisfy her spiritually. And Jesus replied, and he says, anyone who drinks this water, he must have pointed to some water. He says, that will soon become thirsty again. He says, but those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. What's Jesus saying? Friend, he wants to fill the gap in your life, not another human. Now, can you imagine when two humans come together who are already full? They already have a full, complete, whole heart, and the other person is in the same state. When those two people come together, they place very little demand on each other, but they enjoy life together. Now listen, of course there is an element of completing one another in marriage and raising a family, I get that. But if you're thinking that another person on earth is gonna fulfill that gaping hole in your life, friend, it just doesn't work. And it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. But when you don't expect that, then you will start to move forward in your relationship. Here's a great statement for you. Your future partner is supposed to be your help, not your hope. Did you like that? They're supposed to help you, but they're not supposed to be your hope. You are complete in Christ. If you're single and you're thinking, I can't wait for someone to complete me, friend, that's not true. You are complete. You are the complete package. Did you like that? Some of you need to hear that today. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. It says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Watch this. So you also are complete through your union with Christ. Imagine if you honestly sensed that you were complete. You know, that would change everything in the way you were looking for your future partner. Hey, if you're married right now, you're thinking, you know what? I'm so glad I'm married because I need that person. I know you love them and you do need them to some degree. But to be happy on the inside, to be fulfilled, Jesus can do that for you, friend. And I think it's so powerful. You know, the Apostle Paul was single. Jesus was single, amen? You know, there's a psychologist called Dr. Parrott, and he says that in order for us to be healthy in our relationships, we need to be healthy individuals, amen? Friends, today, my desire is that we would go to the back of the car, which is your heart, and to empty that boot. Because if good relationships flow out of your good treasure, I need you to get the bad out and let's get that good treasure in. What is the good treasure? You are complete. You are complete right where you're at. Number two, what's another good treasure that we could have in our boot rather than that bad stuff? You know what, friends, let me tell you what that junk looks like. We need to learn to love ourselves. And there's just way too many people that are expecting everyone to love them. They want their future partner to love them, but yet they themselves don't love themselves. You know, just recently, a young lady that I know, love her dearly, and she was telling me that she was going for a walk around the park, and she said, God, could you speak to me just about my life? And all of a sudden, God gave her a memory where she remembers her father speaking to her and basically saying that if she's a good girl, then he will love her. Now, she totally forgot about that. Now she's an adult, she's married, she's got children, but she basically said to me that she didn't realize that she thought she always had to be a good person in order to be loved. And so she didn't love herself for a long, long time because she wasn't perfect. Well, surprise, surprise, none of us are. But she couldn't love herself because she believed the lie that she's not worthy to be loved unless she's perfect. But friends, she prayed right there and she said, God, could you speak to me? And God said, I need to tell you, I love you even though you're not perfect. I see you as perfect. You're my daughter and I will always love you. And friends, it changed her life. What did she do? She got the bad junk out and she got the good stuff in, and now it's having an impact on all of her relationships. Friends, even the look on her face is different. She feels so free. She looks free. I want that for you today. And I want you to learn how to love yourself. Some of you remember the story of a lady called Terry Horton. And I think it was a few years ago that I showed you guys a picture, if you've been coming to Lifehouse for some time. But look it up yourself. Terry Horton was a young lady. She was driving home one day and she wanted to surprise a friend with a really ugly gift. She was actually just playing a joke on her friend. And she went to an op shop and she bought the ugliest painting in the room that she could find. And so she takes this painting and it was quite large. She could barely fit it into her car. Anyway, the person wanted $8 for it, $8. And she thought, nah, it's not even worth that much. So she only gave her $5. She went, she took the painting to her friend's house and her friend said, this is the ugliest painting I've ever seen in my life. And they said, yeah, how ugly is it? And then they were having a coffee together and then they decided to go buy some darts to actually throw darts at this particular painting. Well, they never got around to that. And so the friend said, please, could you just take this thing with you? So she took it with her. And then she ended up having a garage sale and so she put it up for sale for $5. Well, an art teacher drives by, stops his car, has a look at it, asks the lady where she bought it from. Well, lo and behold, it turns out that what this woman thought was ugly and worthless was actually a painting that was painted by a man called Jackson Pollock. And the painting was worth $15 million US. What she bought for $5 was actually worth $15. Because she didn't know the value of it, she gave it to a friend and she just flung it at her friend. And then her friend says, why don't we throw darts at this thing? See, her friend was willing to abuse the painting as well because she didn't know its worth. And friend, when you don't know what you're worth, then you will allow other people to abuse you, to be terrible to you in relationships because you don't even know your worth. And when you don't know your worth, how's anyone else supposed to value you? Now, some people will because they've got integrity and they've got some type of, you know, ethical way of thinking about people and always treating people fairly. But friends, I see a lot of people in relationships where they are not being treated well and they accept it. Why? Because they don't love themselves. Friends, that painting did not derive its value because of what Terry Horton thought about it. It got its value because of the person who painted it, which was Jackson Pollock. And friend, you don't get your value because you're great and because of all the wonderful things you do or because what people think about you. You get your value because God created you and He made you perfect and you are made in God's image and you deserve to be loved. And so as you begin to love yourself, you start to give off an aura of, hey, listen, I deserve to be valued. I deserve to be respected. And it starts to weed out the people who don't want to love you, who don't want to treat you well. So friends, let's get the bad stuff out of our boot. Let's get the good stuff in and let's accept that we are loved by God. Do you know how loved you are by God? Do you know how valuable you are? God sent His only Son to die for you. That's how valuable you are. You're more than 15 million US dollars, friends. Someone gave their life for you. That's how valuable you are. And someone needs to be giving high fives everywhere and celebrating. You actually, why don't you say these words? I am valuable and I love myself. And some of you are like, really? Should I really be loving myself? You know, isn't that a bad thing? No, friends, I'm not talking about ego. I'm not saying that you should say you're better than someone else. We're not talking about that. We're just saying having a love for yourself, having a respect for yourself. I've told you this many times, but I honestly do this. I'll stand in front of a mirror and say, Richard, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're a great guy. Your heart is good. You love people. Because I just can't wait for other people to tell me that. And you may think, really? That's just so over the top. Well, you do whatever you want to do. But you know what? I just feel like I am valuable and valued. Because honestly, I just love myself because of the person who made me. Come on, somebody, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've got a whole lot of things to say here, but I'm just going to let that go because we've got so much to talk about here. Hey, listen, my last point is this, friends. What are some of the junk, the bad treasure that could be in our boot? Well, let me tell you, I think forgiving others, friends, would have to be one of the greatest things that we really have to deal with. And I say this again, I've just got a story that just blows my mind. You know, there's a friend in my life and I love this person. We've been friends for a long time. But there's always been an aspect of this person's life that, you know, it's just up and down, very roller coaster life. And and you know, doing well one day and doing terribly the next, and doing well in their relationship one day and doing terribly the next, and I could never work it out. And you know, just recently, you know, things really got very bad, and so this person reached out to me, and I thought, I've really got to help this person. So I took them to a counsellor, a Christian counsellor, and they began to talk, and you know, friend, lo and behold, some very terrible things had happened to my friend when he was much younger. But it actually wasn't those events that actually messed him up and created a roller coaster lifestyle for him. What it was the unforgiveness that he actually had toward his dad, who didn't handle those situations properly. He didn't feel that his dad was in his corner. He didn't feel like his dad protected him. And as this counselor began to help him, and this person, this counselor really loves Jesus, and he told my friend, hey, listen, why don't you let Jesus into that situation, and why don't you forgive? And so I saw my friend just begin to confess his forgiveness. Friend, once again, can I tell you, the look on his face, you could just literally see his demeanor changing. We got back into the car and I said, how do you feel? He said, I've never felt like this before. What happened? He forgave, friends. He forgave. And when he forgave, all of a sudden, he got the bad stuff out and now the good stuff started flowing in. I'm so happy for him. Do you know, friends, that could be you. Maybe there's something going on in your heart right now and you're thinking, I don't even know what it is. Friends, why don't you let someone open up the boot, someone you trust, and why don't we get that bad stuff out so that the good treasure can come in, so that you can be the best version of you. You know, many years ago, I went on holidays with my parents and my dad bought some steak and some fish, and I had to take all the groceries out of the car. And so I took in all the meats and all the fruit and veggies and took it all in and closed the boot. And 3 or 4 days later, there was just like an odor coming from the back of the car. Once again, it was a boot story, right? And then it was just horrible. And it was just, it started off not too bad, but it just got worse and worse, to the point when we would park in a parking lot, people would walk past the car and sort of walk around it. Like, and what had obviously happened, I think some of you have worked out, is that the fish was left down one of the side pockets and it was rotting. And there was an odor coming out of the boot. Now, if you just saw the car, you'd think, oh, it's beautiful. But inside there was something rotting away and it was creating an odor. Friends, without being too harsh, you know, some people, when you get around them, they look great on the outside, but it's not long as you start to spend some time with them that there's an odor that comes off them. And that is the ex-partner, and as they begin to talk about how they got ripped off there and how someone was mean to them there, and they're just harboring this unforgiveness. Friends, it's not attractive. It doesn't smell great. But what if today you just decided, you know what, I'm not going to be that person anymore. I'm not going to ruin every potential date by talking about the past and past relationships and how it didn't quite work out, and now you don't trust anybody, and oh man, you have to see what that person did to me. And friends, nobody wants to hear that. People would love to meet someone who is healthy, who has left the past in the past, moving forward. What are they saying? They want the bad junk out. Come on, we need some good treasure in that boot of ours so that we can begin to produce those good things that Jesus here is talking about. Friends, come on, we're going to spend a moment with God. You know, we haven't done a lot of this since we've been a church that's online. And I understand why we haven't, because it's a little bit difficult, but I just think today's subject, today's topic is just too important to just gloss over. I'm just wondering right now, friend, I don't know what's going on in your boot, in your heart, but God's call to you today is, come on, he needs you to be the best version of you. Your partner needs it, your future partner needs it, and you need it. Your employees want you to be this person. Everybody wants us to be the best version of us. But friends, only you can do that. I can't reach into your boot, open that up for you. I can't do that. Only you can do that. Only you can say, Lord, here's the boot. You know what's in there. I don't love myself, or I've got unforgiveness, or I'm hoping someone's going to fill a gap in my life. Come on, today, why don't you allow Jesus to come in, fill up your boot with great things. Take out those things that you just do not need and fill you with hope, with love, with peace, with patience, with joy, all those things that we desperately need so that we can be the best person that we could be, that we could be on our toes, that when that person comes into our life, they are meeting the best version of us at that point in time. So come on, why don't you pray with me? Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment and let the Holy Spirit just talk to you. Thank you, Father. Lord God, Lord, you know who's watching. Lord, you know the words that they're hearing. And Lord, I just know that right now you're speaking and you're speaking really clearly and you want people to move forward right now. And Father, I'm thinking of those that have been Christians for many years, those that have been married for many years. I'm thinking of singles. I'm thinking of people that have tuned in for the first time. Father, I pray that you would hear their heart's cry. God, get into that boot and Lord, help them to take all that junk out so that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit and all the good things that he brings. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody. I know that some of you really heard the Holy Spirit speaking. I know that some of you really felt challenged that, yeah, it's time. Friend, I'm just gonna ask you to act upon that. Stay prayerful. Reach out to some good people. Let us know. You can easily hop onto our website and just let us know if you need any help with anything that was said today. We wanna be here for you. We wanna see you move forward in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.